Our final lesson this evening comes to us from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So the shepherds went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known all of what had been told about them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, as it had been told to them.
So one of Rachel and my Christmas traditions is on Christmas Eve night, so in just a few hours, this will happen. After Ezra goes to bed, Rachel and I watch A Christmas Carol. We've done this, I don't know, how many years have we done this? I don't know. Yeah, a lot. Now this, Christmas Carol, this is the one we watch. Is the correct one to watch. It's the 1951 film adaptation with Alistair Sim as Scrooge. All right. Good. I'm glad. I'm glad to see some hand clapping there. And it is the original black and white, not the colorized. The colorized version is in the DVD case, but it hasn't left that DVD case. It's the black and white version. This is very important. That's the real one. That's the one that is so good. And if you know the story, you know how it ends. With Scrooge vowing not just to honor Christmas, but to honor Christmas in his heart all year long, not even just on that one day, but all year long. As Scripture tells it, the story of Christmas, the story of Christ's birth, it ends with the shepherds. Did you notice that? It ends with the shepherds. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. In Luke's telling of the birth of Christ, which is the most fleshed out telling of the birth of Christ in Scripture, there in Luke's second chapter, chapter 1 is like a big prelude, an extended prologue to the actual event, but there in chapter 2, those first 20 verses, which we read over our last three readings, telling of the birth of Christ. Only 7 of those verses are about Joseph and Mary and the actual giving birth to Christ. And the rest of the 20 are about the shepherds. There are almost twice as many verses about what the shepherds do and what they experience and how they respond than about Mary and Joseph there in that moment. And so I'd like us to linger a bit on the shepherds this evening. They're out in the fields at night, minding their own business, keeping watch. Suddenly an angel barges in, lighting up the night sky, and tells them the most extraordinary thing. "Don't be afraid!" That's a little bit like getting a phone call late at night that begins, "Now don't worry, everyone's okay." Right? You get that, you hear that, and you think, "Well, now I'm worried." "Don't be afraid! Okay, I'll try. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people, all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." And the angel goes on and says, "Here's the sign that this is true. A child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger." And then suddenly, as if that weren't enough, there's a multitude of the heavenly host. The word host there is the word for something like army. And suddenly there was, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly battalion, the heavenly regiment. But remember, don't be afraid. A multitude of the heavenly host out of nowhere appear, filling up the sky, praising God. So just to recap, the special agent angel breaks in. The glory of the Lord cuts through and invades the darkness of the night sky to bring this message for all people. But we're starting here with you shepherds, way out in the fields. The news that the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior, the Lord Himself has been born into this world. Let's back up a little more. Luke has been framing this whole thing in the context of emperors, and kings, and rulers, powerful people. In the days of King Herod, in those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus, telling all the world what to do, and they did it. When Quirinius was the governor of Syria, set against the backdrop of this kind of power, now here in a field, far, far away from the halls of power, to shepherds, not kings, not emperors, not rulers, but to shepherds, this message comes. And here's the sign. You're going to find a baby wrapped in scraps of cloth, lying in a manger, not even lying in a bed or a crib. The sign isn't even the heavenly hosts that show up, that army of angels that invade the night sky, but it is a helpless baby, snuggled up with scavenged cloth and lying in an animal's feeding trough. That's the sign. And the army breaks into song, their marching orders, and then on that note, the angels leave. And the shepherds are left there again in the quiet and in the dark. And now they have a decision to make. They've received this news, and now what do you do about it? Well, they say, let's go. So they do. They go, and when they get there, they see what they are told to look for, and they tell Mary and Joseph, and everyone there is all sorts of amazed. And Mary treasures these words the shepherds bring, and ponders them. She chews on them. She wrestles with them and lets them wrestle with her in her heart. But now the shepherds, they have another decision to make. What do we do now? Well, as it happens, they return. Shepherds leave the manger and they go back. Back to their fields. Back to the night. But they do so now, glorifying and praising God for all that they have seen and heard. Beloved, we have heard. We have received this news, and we have come. We have come into this place on this night, whether physically and geographically we've come to this place or whether through the gift of technology we have come. We have come to see, to affirm, and to have affirmed for us and to us again this sign of this child in a manger, born to us. And hopefully to take a moment this evening to just be amazed, to treasure and ponder this, that God has come in the flesh in the most surprising and scandalous of ways, against the backdrop of kings and emperors and power plays, whether those of 2,000 years ago or of our own kinds now in these days. The sign of this Savior, the Messiah, our Lord, the sign is still not startling and terrifying pomp and circumstance of even the heavenly battalions invading the night sky, but a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And so we take a moment to be amazed and ponder that when it matters the most, this is the sneaky way, as one of my friends put it years ago, this is the way in which the one who spins the stars and commands regiments of angels chooses and delights to make his appearance. But now, much like the shepherds, here's the thing for us this evening. We have heard and we have received this news. We have come to see and to share, to affirm and to have affirmed again this sign of God's presence among us, that God's presence come into this world and into our lives. And now, like the shepherds, we too have a choice to make. Every now and again, much is said in our culture about making sure to keep Christ in Christmas. But here's my question for us this evening. What if the whole point is not to keep Christ in Christmas? The last word we have about that first Christmas all those years ago is a word of going, not staying. What might it look like if we resolve to not keep Christ in Christmas? To not just keep him in the manger where he'll stay put, thank you very much, cute and controllable. We can put him away and then bring him out again next year. But what if we resolve to let him loose, let him out of Christmas? To, in all the ways we can, whatever the ways we can, to bring him out of just this night and this place and back out into the world, into our fields and chilly nights and dark night skies. Into our world of power plays and our own types of empires and kingdoms, whether out there or in here. What if we resolve to not just keep Christ in our nativities, but to bring him out every night and every day? For this is the one who came first and foremost to those who were furthest from power, to the most vulnerable, to the poor and the poor in spirit, to the hungry and hungering, to the lost and longing, the homeless and the homesick, the wandering and the wandering. Do not keep Christ in Christmas. Let him loose on the world and in our lives. Let's not keep Christ in Christmas. Let's let him loose. Let loose that good news that the time is now, as Jesus will later go around proclaiming, the time is now, the kingdom of God has drawn near, that we might participate in this good news, as Jesus says, of repentance toward his kingdom. To not keep Christ in Christmas, but to bring him out. That the proud would be scattered, the powerful brought down from their thrones, and the lowly lifted up and gathered in. That we let Christ loose, that the rich are sent away empty, but the hungry and thirsty for nourishment, and those who are hungering and thirsting for justice and righteousness would be filled with good things. Do not keep Christ just here in Christmas, but to let him loose, that the poor and the poor in spirit may know the kingdom of God is theirs. That those who mourn may find comfort, that it would be the meek that inherit the earth, that mercy would be received, God would be seen, and peacemakers called the children of God. Like those shepherds of long ago, we have heard, and so we have come. And like those shepherds here in this place, we have a decision to make. What do we do now? So like those shepherds, let us not just stop and stay here. Let us not keep Christ just here. But rather, let us go out. Let us return to the world, glorifying and praising God by joining Christ in his work for which he has come. So that we may find that Christ is not just here. Not just in the manger, but that we will find him in all those places in the world where he has promised to be. So if I may just close by paraphrasing another preacher writing about such things. Now that we know and have seen and heard where God stands, for we can see to whom and for whom he was born. Now that we know that God loves his creation enough to intervene with no less than himself, Now that we have heard and seen and know what God is like, standing with the vulnerable, the poor, the weak, the exploited, the helpless infants born into places fraught with chaos, ruled by violent and fearful leaders, born in borrowed cradles, swaddled in scraps of fabric and held close by parents doing the best they can with the circumstances given them. Now that we have seen and beheld that this is the very image and the very sign of God's glory come to us, the question, the challenge for us now, like those shepherds all those years ago, is what do we do now? Will we simply keep Christ in Christmas so that we can come visit once a year? Or will we not keep him there, but will we go out carrying the light of this God who has come to us in this way, going out from this place and into the world in which we find ourselves? Beloved of God, this is the very challenge, but it is also the very hope of this good news that has come to us in Jesus Christ. And so do not be afraid, for this is the good news of great joy for all the people, that to us is born a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord. Let's not keep Christ in Christmas, but let's bring him out. Let him loose on the world and in our lives. Do not be afraid, for this is the good news of great joy for all the people. So Merry Christmas, church. Merry Christmas. Glory to God in the highest heaven indeed, and the peace of God's favor upon you, upon this earth. Amen.